handout, an outline of the lesson this evening, so you're very welcome to follow along as I make the presentation. Very familiar text is one that we just need to read every so often to remind us of the task at hand for us as brethren. So the title even comes from the verse that's listed in the up at the top. We'll call it the introduction. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We'll take a look at several words in this verse and use that for the outline. But by way of introduction again, you and I need to be reminded again that the Christian life is a life of not just worship, our assembling together as we're doing this evening, but a life of work. Always. And the glory being given to God. Jesus said, and I didn't put these verses in your notes, but in Matthew 9, verse 37, he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." We want laborers. That's part of Jesus' prayer. In Matthew 20, he mentions the kingdom of heaven is like a man that's a householder. Went out early in the morning to hire laborers for the vineyard. That's us in our generation. You know, even our hymnal has a whole section of songs that are just involved, you know, missionary or work songs that are designed to encourage us in the task that we have of being laborers or workers in the vineyard. So this lesson highlights, I'm going to call it, six characteristics of the Christian's work. And they're all in the text that you can see that are listed for you. Number one, just note the work is for all of us. All of us, my beloved brethren. Doesn't just say, you know, half of you. Just part of you, the leadership? No, it's my beloved brethren. That's you and me, everyone who's here. And of course, the New Testament teaches us that we're all to be workers, every Christian. In the parable of the talents, I just made a note of that in the verses in Matthew 25. But Jesus, you know, gives the illustration that everyone has been given a talent. No one's left out. Even if we've been issued one, we are to use it. Put it in service. Use it. And don't think just because I don't have the talent of the one that's standing up front, or the one that's leading in the worship assembly, or the one that's in charge of a particular program. No, if you have a talent, and note that someone is watching you. Someone is being blessed even by your attendance. There's someone that looks forward to you being in the assembly. They look for your encouraging words. That one person that you always speak to. They have come because they're looking for you too. We're all laborers together. Even if it's just, if your talent is providing a word of encouragement. Yes, you do it. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, verse 11, Paul said, But these worketh that one and self-same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. In verse 14, the body's not one member. It's many. In verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you." So none of us should say to another, "You know, I'm not necessary." No. Everyone has a place, a talent, an opportunity. We just need to pray, "Lord, keep my eyes open to seize the opportunities you placed before me." There will always be a work. Not one person can do it all. Everyone in the body, you know, sometimes I've heard someone say, is a vital organ. You know, sometimes those vital organs, I don't even see the vital organs in my body working. But I count on them working, you know, taking care of the task at hand. So sometimes that may be you. You may not see, well, I don't see you working. You may not get the attention or the recognition, but stay at the task. We're all different in talent, desire, looks, function, opportunities. So the work is for all of us. My beloved brethren. Second, there's the requirements for the work. It's listed in the text. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. Definition. No, just so you would make sure you understood. I put the definitions in some of the definitions in your notes. But if you and I are to be steadfast, means resolute, unwavering, constant, faithful, dependable, have a devotion to duty, firmly fixed. So Paul admonished even the Philippian brethren in chapter 1, verse 27. Stand fast. Stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving for faith of the gospel. So part of our responsibility, requirement, beloved brethren, is to be steadfast. It means stand fast, unmovable, be solid, be unshaken, come what may. We have hardships, all of us do, troubles, trials, tribulations. There's difficulties of various sorts that's going to come to your life and mine. But that's not the time to forsake faith, to forsake the work, forsake the assembly. No. The requirement for the work is steadfast and unmovable. Number three, the work is constant. Not just a Sunday go-to-meeting religion, as we say. It's always. I put a couple of verses in your notes. I have the same in mine, but Paul described Timothy's work as a preacher. Preach the word. Be instant. That's always. Instant. In season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So I put Christianity has been described in other places as a religion that's always, always. Philippians 2:12. My beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Right. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There are going to be times in your life and mine when somebody is not going to be around to pull us out of trouble or trial. And Paul kind of reminds them of that. You've obeyed not just when I was there, but when I was away. And that's what we want. Always. When I was teaching school, especially when I was subbing, because I'd be in general ed classrooms, there'd be occasion when I might have to turn my back away from the students, and you could just hear something's going on. But then I would turn around and try to, because it was always elementary students. Man, don't get worried here. But I would remind them, is the only time that you're going to obey is when I'm looking at you. Is that the only time you'll stay straight? You know, straighten up? You know. So I try to teach him, learn this lesson early in life because it affects all relationships in life, in society, not just in the church. Know how to behave yourself even when someone is not looking. And that's what Paul said. Christianity is a religion of constant. It's always. Not just when, Paul said, not just when I'm there, but even when I'm away. Rejoice in the Lord always, always. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that lies within you. Then answer him with meekness and fear. Be ready always, always. Spasmodic service doesn't measure up. Doesn't meet the requirement. If you're spasmodic in your service, that's the opposite of steadfast. That's the opposite of immovable. That's the opposite of always. So we want to be about our task. when we're being watched and praised, when work is unseen, during special events or regularly scheduled times, but be ready always. Number four is the fervor of the work is abounding. Abounding. Means over and above. To excel. Abundance. Exceeding the measure. You know what abounding is. So our mission, our service, our ministry, whatever we're doing, we can still strive to always do more. Especially when the opportunity presents itself. So Paul, I put in your notes, Romans 12, verse 11, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Abound. Number five, the motive for the work is knowing that your labor is not in vain. I need to know that. Especially as someone who stands up and presents lessons or teaches and leads in various ways. Take this verse personally in that one phrase. I want to know that my labor is not in vain. In the Lord. That'll be the next phrase. Recognize that the tasks that we do are needed, they're beneficial, and hopefully they're appreciated. Know that your labor is not in vain. Meaning, by definition, it's not fruitless, it's not useless. There is value to it. Our labor for the Lord is not empty. It doesn't go for naught. It's not hollow. Know that. So even if we use our one talent, know that. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. Whatever you do, we need to know this as though the words therefore and for as much in the verse connects to the discussion all through the chapter. But he's saying we labor knowing that there will be a reaping of what we sow. A harvest is coming. So know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Then the nature of the work, the last one, it is in the Lord. For example, if someone says, Brian, I'm going to go do some work in my social club, then all you're going to do is social club activities. Or someone says, Brian, I'm going to go do some work in the garden. I know what something about what you're going to do. You're going to do something that's related to the garden. Someone says, I need to do some work in the kitchen. I get a pretty good idea of something about the work you're going to do. Or if I say, I'm going to go work out in the gym. Well, that doesn't mean a thing. That probably means I'm going to sit at the juice bar. But now he says, know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So it means that I'm going to do service associated with the Lord. And I'm doing this because I'm Christian. So the related verses might be in what Jesus said in Matthew 6:16. Let your light shine before men. So that's my labor in the Lord, letting light shine. You know, that men may see the good works and then glorify the Father which is in heaven. It's associated with the Lord. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's our work. It's in the Lord. The way that we live, the attitudes that we have. You know, Galatians 6:10, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. So there's the lesson. Just from that text, it seems like every phrase, every word has some significance. And so I think abounding in the work of the Lord means happiness here, and of course it means heaven hereafter. Of course, Jesus said in John 9, verse 4, the night comes when no man can work. You have to do it now. Now. You can start tonight. Or keep doing what you're doing. even do it tonight. Always when we assemble together for a time of worship, we extend an invitation at the close of a lesson. Maybe one here this evening is not a member of the New Testament church, meaning you're not a Christian, have not been baptized for remission of sins. We extend that invitation for you to do so. You have heard the gospel, good news message, John 3:16, God so loved the world He gave a Son. And you believe that. Jesus said in John 8, verse 44, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. So we recognize you need to hear and then believe the message that's being presented. And then Jesus' own words too in Luke 13, verse 3, except you repent, you'll perish. So there's a turning around in our attitude and action. And then we confess our faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And based upon that, then we're baptized for remission of sins, and we rise to walk in newness of life, as Paul said in Romans chapter 6, in the opening verses. And then from that point on, new life has begun. You grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the invitation is, if you haven't done those things, you have this opportunity. And we sing a song of encouragement, a song of exhortation, a song of invitation. So if that's your desire, just simply let that request be known. Just come have a seat beside me when we're singing this song. So let's stand together, sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. Again, if that's your resolve, please come and have a seat beside me while we're singing this song. And at the close of the song, I'll just simply ask you, what's on your mind? And just let that request be known.
Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there.